Hello and welcome to the First Impressions Podcast. This is the official podcast for the Forum of Incident Response and Security Teams. Please join us for the 36th Annual FIRST Conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan, June 9th through 14th, 2024. For more information, please visit first.org. And now we join the interview in progress.
Welcome to the show. I'm joined with my co-host Martin McKay, and today we're lucky enough to be talking to Georgi Kuchirdin, who works for Kaspersky's Global Research and Analysis Team. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
We're going to be giving a presentation at the upcoming FIRST conference regarding mobile forensics, walking through the minefield of mobile forensics. Can you give us a little bit of an idea about what you're going to be covering in that talk?
So in the world of spyware, in the recent years, there has been a lot of malware that targets mobile devices, iPhones and Androids. Among this malware, there is a lot of spyware that's extremely sophisticated. You may have heard of Pegasus, Predator, or Operation Triangulation. These are examples of those complicated campaigns. Typically, these mobile infections with Pegasus or Operation Triangulation, they involve use of zero-day exploits. And as such, they are heavily difficult to combat. In my talk, I'll be sharing the latest strategies that can be used to fight against such complicated cyber threats like Pegasus or Operation Triangulation.
So when you're researching these new threats and these new kind of spyware campaigns, what kind of process do you go through to try and research those? Would you find them in the wild? Do people report them through to you? What's kind of that first step?
Well, I got my experience in analyzing such threats when my own company where I work at, Kaspersky, has been hacked with those implants. About a dozen employees of ours have caught spyware on their devices, and it was a unique campaign. It was called Operation Triangulation by us. And the thing is, for this mobile spyware, which is very sophisticated, there is no set of strategies that you can use to combat it. It's different in every case. But there are steps that you can do to catch the spyware. First of all, you need to catch the first stage exploit. So this is something that gets on your phone, typically through a messenger. It may be like an infected iMessage attachment or a message sent via WhatsApp, something like this. Then you have to analyze this initial infection stage to extract further exploits. For example, exploits that target vulnerabilities in the operating system kernel to get root privileges. Then these vulnerabilities, they are used to deliver malicious implants, which you also need to reverse engineer and analyze. And finally, you should be able to understand, once you reverse engineer the implants, what data the attackers were trying to exfiltrate from the phone. This helps better understand the goals of the attackers. So these are the steps that you typically do when you analyze sophisticated mobile threats.
Mobile phones, I mean, they've gone from 10, 15 years ago being a nice, convenient way of, you know, browsing the internet, accessing a few apps. So nowadays, I can't live without my phone. All my 2FAs are on there, all my multi-factor authentication, I do my banking on it. It's more of a general purpose computer that sits in your pocket. Do you see that increase in complexity of mobile phone devices? Mobiles are becoming more and more of the target, an initial entry into points, or is that still very much a niche attack vector?
For sure, yes. The mobile phone is every time in our pocket, and as such, it provides a gateway into our personal lives. When we use a computer, we only use it when we work, when we do stuff related to our employment, for example. But our mobile phone, regardless where we are at work or at home or at restaurant, it's always with us. And as such, if attackers hack it, they basically know everything about your personal life. And plus, for computers, the security solutions existent at the time are way more complex and are far more advanced than the ones on mobile phones. And that's why smartphones are becoming more and more attractive targets for the threat actors.
Well, do most people even realize this, that they could be a target of spyware? Do they even realize that spyware exists in your experience?
Some people who are not very technically educated, they may not realize, of course, that they infected with spyware. They may not even know that the spyware exists. They just put the phone out of their pocket, unlock it, and do some stuff. They don't care about the spyware. But if a person has been reading technical media, well, they may realize that they can become targets of spyware, and that they need to be very careful when clicking links and stuff. But actually, there is another group of people, which are people who can be infected by sophisticated spyware, like Pegasus. Examples of such people are, for example, journalists, international journalists covering, for example, human rights. There has been a number of infections of Pegasus that targeted human rights activists. And nowadays, these people are especially on alert. They are warned in advance that they can be infected by an advanced threat actor and that they have to be very careful about it.
When it comes to, you know, specialist attacks and using 0 days to gain access to phones, there's not a lot of protections that can be put into place. I mean, effectively, every complex system has a bug at some point, and people will use that to gain access to systems. What can people who might be worried about their phones or their mobile devices, what can they do to be better educated, other than don't click on links, which is the general guidance? But you know, what can they do to kind of get ahead of the game and at least be aware that something might have taken over their system?
Well, in modern operating systems, there are special security mitigations that you can turn on in order to prevent some infections. For example, on iOS, it's called lockdown mode. It's a special mode that you can activate, and it actually limits the number of features that you can use on the device. For example, you may not be able to view some web content that involves multimedia, or you may not be able to view attachment previews on the notification screen. However, thanks to this, the phone becomes much more protected as the surface of attack becomes much smaller. But in general, those lockdown mode mitigations can also be bypassed. It's not a secret. And people in general need to be more careful about how they process data. If there is something very sensitive, some sensitive information that you have, the best way is not to put it on the phone and not discuss it with anyone with the phone in the pocket. That's a bit of a paranoid thing, but actually, if you have some data that you really want to protect, this method really helps at all times.
We are moving into an age where everybody is a target for this type of things, because you might someday be somebody important. I mean, that really is. It's not just the NGOs. It's not just the CEOs. It's, well, you said, I think a dozen people at your company, security companies, are becoming increasingly a target. Are they staying ahead of us? Or is this a losing battle to keep the spyware off the phones? Or do you think that this is something that with proper effort, we can keep from becoming a global problem?
Well, I think that this whole battle against spyware is neither winning nor losing. Instead, it's an infinite battle where sometimes one side wins, sometimes the other wins, sometimes one loses and the other one loses. So it's just a cat and mouse game where the threat actor invents some new technologies, comes up with some new exploits, and then defenders try to make sure that these exploits are no longer used, and the game goes on and on again.
One of the major drawbacks of combating malware and infections on any device is very much you try and make it harder for the attacker to gain access to the device, right? I mean, there's going to be bugs. There's always going to be bugs in systems, even ones that are well designed and well thought out. But making it harder for an attacker to the point where it's not worthwhile for them to develop an exploit for it has always kind of been the goal to push towards. But for targeted attacks, there's almost no limit to the amount of effort you'll put in if the reward you get at the other end is an amazing reward, right? You could spend 6 months developing something if you know that you're going to gain access to sensitive data at a significant company or gain access to millions of dollars, right? So how do we change that narrative? Because making it harder for attackers only works in generalized attacks, but not necessarily in targeted attacks.
So even in the case of targeted attacks, there are ways how it's possible to prevent them, to try and to decrease the amount of these attacks. Basically, there are two ways how you can do it. One approach is the legal way. So when there was a lot of information about Pegasus attacks, there have been discussions among lawyers on how you can prevent the attacks on a legal level. And this also helps, in my opinion, help decrease the number of attacks involving Pegasus. And there is a second way, the technical one. As a community of security researchers, what we should do is try to put a lot of efforts into analyzing these attacks. If we know the methodology, how to examine the mobile phones, how to extract payloads, how to reverse engineer the malware inside them efficiently, well, it will be much harder for attackers to conduct their operations because, for example, if their exploits get caught too often, then they will have to invest money, more money in exploits at a higher pace. And if we unite and if we manage to do a lot of research against those companies that develop spyware, then it will be much more difficult for them to infect targets.
Now, I mean, back to kind of the talk that you're giving at the upcoming FIRST conference, you're going to cover some of those, you know, minefield of how you do the analysis and a little bit about the effect. So what do you want people to know about the talk? What should they come to the talk thinking, I'm going to come out knowing this?
Well, I want to share during my talk the general strategy that you can use to analyze such attacks, because as I have already said, the exact strategy that you will use during analysis of such an attack is different every time. However, if you just know the general steps on what ways you can use to dump initial payloads, what ways you can use to analyze exploits, if you know a set of methods that you can use against every step in the workflow, then you're going to be much more successful in what you're doing. So what I want my listeners to learn is the number of methods available for each step in the workflow. And what's more is that those steps, they change every time, because once you discover an attack, you publish a blog post about it usually, because you need to share your findings with the community. And what the threat actors do, they, of course, read those blog posts and they think, what have we done wrong? How can we avoid having our stuff published at some blog again? And they adapt their strategy based on this. Because of this, you just have to know a general set of methods that you can apply in order to investigate an infection. And these methods, some of them are quite novel and innovative, because as I have already said, defenders have to come up with new things every time in order to be able to counteract the attackers. So that's what I want the listeners to learn.
Thank you very much for taking the time to sit and chat with us. I'm really looking forward to the talk. We've been talking to Georgi Kuchulin, Kaspersky Global Research and Analysis Team, and I welcome you to attend his talk, The Minefield of Mobile Forensics, at the upcoming FIRST conference. Again, thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the First Impressions podcast. I'm your host, Martin McKay, and along with Christian Riley, we interview people who are going to be speaking at upcoming FIRST conferences. We look forward to seeing you at the 36th annual FIRST conference this summer in Fukuoka, Japan. It'll be going on June 9th through 14th. For more information, please visit first.org.